This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're here joining us on this Sunday morning where we get together weekly and talk about probate stuff. Myself and my world-famous co-host, Ted Walshin, who's joining us as usual. Good morning, Ted. How are you today?
Pretty good. Thank you very much. Pretty good for this last Sunday of July. I can't believe this.
I know. We say this all the time.
I know we do, but it's true.
It's August already. And then like the summer's over, kids will be back at school in a month.
The last 2 weeks, they've already been doing back to school specials and sales and stuff, right?
Yeah, I saw some commercials on TV. Amazon is getting into back to school stuff.
Amazon's getting into everything.
Yeah.
And Twitter is no longer Twitter. Twitter's now X.
X, I heard that.
I guess he's, as they say with genius, you know, there's a fine line you straddle between insanity and being a genius. And I think that's Elon
Musk. Yeah, I wrestle with that all the time.
Yeah, sure you do. I think Elon Musk is right there on that line. Because I mean, some of the things that he does, you think, wow, that's brilliant. And then other things he does, you think, this man is very peculiar.
But he's always liked X, right? Apparently he's had
SpaceX and
exactly.
Was his kid's name X? Like his kid's name is like a mathematical formula.
Oh, wow.
Why people do that to their children is beyond me. You know?
Yep.
I don't understand that. Like it's why are you punishing a kid because you've got some quirky stuff rolling around in your head. But anyway. So the good news is we'll see in about 24 hours from now how far, but at least we know that we're going to go to the next round, it seems anyway, the women's soccer team, after tying the first game and winning game two and game three being tomorrow. Are we in the next round already? Or I guess
I think we are now that we beat Ireland a few days ago. We beat Ireland in a great match, which was best described as being scrappy. And that was predicted with respect to all our Irish listeners out there. We knew we'd seen them play Australia and that was scrappy. And they said that they had, you know, every intention of keeping that type of play going, and so the Canadian women were expecting that. And I watched the match. Of course, it was an excellent match, except for the fact that Ireland scored within the first 5 minutes, and so that was a bit of a downer because you think, oh no, here we go, now we're climbing up a hill for the next 85 minutes kind of thing. But the Canadian women pulled it off and made it 2-1 final to get the 4 points, which I think is going to be enough. They'll be in. We'll see. It's hard to make predictions. We'll see. But they're expected. Remember, as we were saying last week, they're the number one ranked in that group. They call it the group of death, but they're highest ranked on the FIFA rankings. And they are the current Olympic gold medal winners. So they are in this tournament with respect. And it would just be amazing if they could possibly win this World
and I
Cup.
Was the they played on Wednesday, and I was going to watch on Wednesday morning, and forgotten, and I got sucked into watching the swearing-in ceremony for the cabinet shuffle.
Yeah, how was that? Was that exciting?
Boring television I've ever seen in my entire life, with these cabinet ministers coming up and then reading their pledge in French and then in English, and many of them their French is. I mean, it's just it's awful. And well, it's so boring. It's just like the same thing over and over. Next person, next person, next person, next person.
But come on, cabinet shuffles. That's exciting stuff for political people.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to get too political on
it. I know, and we make a point of that here on the Void Probate Show listeners.
But I can't tell you that it was boring television. It has nothing to do with my political stance.
We've had a rule since day one. A couple years ago when the show launched, we had a rule since day one, which was no politics and no COVID. Because, you know, back then, that's all everybody was talking about was COVID. And we
every morning there was a report at like
every morning, every 5 minutes.
No, but every morning at like 11:30 in the morning, they came out.
Oh, the premier's latest report. Yeah. So, I remember saying on air several times, we are not going to talk politics on the Avoid Probate Show. And we're not going to talk about COVID either, even though Ted had it and he was late joining the show because he was recovering from it. But we have said many times that it is the Avoid Probate Show, and we are going to try very hard to focus on matters relating to probate. If it's not connected to probate, you're probably not going to hear us talk about it on the Avoid Probate Show. There's lots of shows, other shows, let's talk about it.
But just as a point of interest, I mean, at this point, here we are 3 years after COVID hit. I think probably 90% of the people I know have had it.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I know people who've had it recently.
Yeah.
Who had it before.
There was an outbreak in the cardiology ward, in the cardiac ward at the Tropical General recently.
But yet, it's not like making news like it did.
No, it's not.
Thank goodness for that. Oh,
except now they're saying that there should be an inquiry to discuss how come so many lives were lost in Canada. Especially with seniors and the long-term homes. Yeah, well,
okay. Well,
see what happens with that.
Getting back to probate stuff, it is the Avoid Probate Show. Thank you for joining us, especially if you're new to the show. If you've just discovered us, congratulations. We are here every Sunday morning, AM 740, Jason Lehler and Ted Walshin. We have a regular contributor, Debbie Stanley, who'll be coming up after the break with a regular segment that she does called Solving the Probate Puzzle. And aside from that, we're going to talk about a few other things also related to probate, in particular, avoiding it. We'll talk about what the probate process looks like and what the solution is to avoid it. There's a couple solutions that we like to promote here every week on the show. We mentioned mid-year statements are out. We'll just remind listeners about that. And I also want to talk about Bill 245. That's not new, but it came up in some conversations recently. Bill 245 made some drastic changes to estate law in Ontario. And that came up, like I said, a couple times in conversations with clients in emails and in person. We do provide in-person meetings, no charge consultations. I'm going to emphasize that. If you think you need some more information about how this stuff works and what the solution looks like, please call the office. Ted's going to provide you with the contact information several times before the hour's out. And we're happy to book a no charge consultation meeting for you, either in person or on the phone, if that's easier. But it's better in person, I think. So that's an option. But we'll leave it at that for now, I think. And we'll take our first break of the morning, and we'll come back and talk about some avoid probate stuff. We'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hey, it's Ted Walshin for Tom's Place. Our fall merchandise is starting to arrive, and we've got massive amounts of summer clothing that needs to be cleared. Blowout prices on virtually everything, like designer suits, regularly up to $5.99, now from $167 to $267. Beautiful sports jackets, starting at only $167, and designer dress pants and shirts, all at $67. Check out our deals throughout the store on the very best of designer menswear. Huge savings off our already below retail prices. If you need a suit for an upcoming wedding or any special occasion, we are Toronto's one-stop suit shop. For the finest outfit for every occasion, there is no better time to find the perfect addition to your wardrobe. Everything is on sale to make way for our fall merchandise. Tom's Place is open 11 to 6 weekdays, 10 to 5 Saturday, 12 to 5 Sunday. Visit Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin in Kensington Market. Tom's Place, we'll suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of AvoidProbate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show. I'm Ted Walsh and Jason Laidler with us as well. And we remind you to keep your calls and emails coming in with your questions and your comments helpful to one and all. We try to get back to you as soon as possible. The way to do that, by the way, if you would like to send an email, it's info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca, or you can call toll free 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And drop by the website if you get a chance as well, www.avoidprobate.ca. And there you will find lots of great stuff, including a free probate calculator, which you can play around with that. It'll give you an idea, at least, of how much probate might be payable on your estate. So if you're doing that, make sure you're sitting down, because it may frighten you. Mm-hmm. Again, it's avoidprobate.ca. That's where you go, www.avoidprobate.ca. And it's time once again for our weekly installment of Solving the Probate Puzzle with Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada. Hey, Debbie Stanley, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay, thank you very much. So Roxy Moo is the client that we're dealing with, client that has recently passed, and you are the executor of this estate.
That is correct.
How often do you do this? I meant to ask you that last week. How often does this come up for you in a yearly basis?
Probably about 3 to 5 times per year. We have clients pass away and we have clients naming us pretty much on a weekly basis. But the thing is, you have to be alive and well to name me as your executor. And then it's sort of a waiting process. It's a little bit of a strange process, but we maintain all communications and relationships with our clients. But from there, we don't know when.
Generally speaking, are you named as the first executor, or are people, as Jason has suggested on numerous occasions, as a backup in case the person who is named executor decides that it's too much for them?
I would say it's about a 50-50 split, because mm-hmm. it depends on circumstances. When we're named as that first executor, it's usually because the person is already widowed. Perhaps the children are living out of the country or they never had children. So it makes sense for us to just be that first choice. Mm-hmm. And then half of the time we are the backup, because maybe it is a child that's the executor and they don't know where that child will be in the future, whether they can take it on. So we're the backup person.
Or I would imagine there are times when people take on the task and then begin and realize, wow, this is a lot more work than I thought. Time to call Debbie.
Well, there's a little bit of a time crunch. So if you think you might want to be the executor and you start dabbling in it, unfortunately, once you start acting as an executor, you have to keep going. So that's where conversations do need to be had with that person, because you can't start and then stop.
Well, what happens if the executor gets ill or gets hospitalized, for example?
That's a little bit different than choosing not to. So of course, if somebody is ill or passes away, then there is a process where the backup executor then steps in. Mm-hmm. And when we say illness, it does have to be, you know, a illness such as Alzheimer's or a coma or something catastrophic, not a sniffly cold like I think I'm coming down with.
Right. Okay.
So it's a little bit larger. Yes.
Like Ted's allergies, that kind of thing.
Hmm. Right. Yes. Yeah. The dreaded man cold, perhaps.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah. So a key thing to remember is you cannot try out the role and back out of it if it's too much. You do have to make that decision up front.
Okay. Now, what's going on with your latest file?
So the estate of Roxy Moo, if our listeners remember from last week, and I'll quickly recap, is we have been trying to obtain the probate check so that we can submit our application to court, and have hit a few hurdles because the only bank account in this estate is an online bank that we cannot gain access to. So we can't get a bank draft from the cash in the bank account. So our alternate approach, because the probate fees are $74,000, was to request a bank draft from the investment institution. Now, the investment institution is a brick and mortar institution. And of course, they have checks and balances in place. So they wanted to ensure that the request we're asking for is legitimate, which, you know, in this case, the check is actually going to the Minister of Finance, not payable to Debbie Stanley. So I feel like that was a pretty good, you know, check mark in our defense. However, the financial institution wanted a letter from the beneficiary saying that they were okay with this transaction to occur before probate. So we have done that. We submitted it to the financial institution and they said, okay, this all looks good, except now we want a letter from the beneficiary saying it's okay for them to mail us this check so that we can submit it to the Minister of Finance.
Wow. Now, you thank God you can do all of this via email, because if you had to wait to do like snail mail and then you run into a long weekend, now you're talking it could be 5-6 days before anything exchanges hands.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, both are beneficiaries that are out of the country. We have one in the UK and we have one in Florida. So if we were doing old fashioned snail mail, we'd be here till probably the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And if one of them was in Ontario and the other one was not, then, you know, they have to act together. Right. And this, we see this a lot where parents don't want to leave somebody out, even though they're not in Ontario. So they'll name that other child. But now, you know, it's more difficult because they have to go to the bank. If they have to go to the bank to sign something, right, they have to go together. They have to sign it as one, right?
If they're executors. In this case, they're beneficiaries.
Sorry, yes, if they're executors.
Yeah, so beneficiaries, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's interesting to me that we needed the beneficiary's approval for the probate check when this is an act of the executor. But the bank is ensuring that, I don't know, I think they're going above their scope as a bank at this point. I think they're dabbling a bit into the executor's role. This is my role as an executor to ensure probate fees are paid and that the beneficiaries are apprised of the situation and understand what's happening. However, I don't think that the beneficiaries need to approve me getting the probate check.
I was just going to say, because normally you wouldn't need approval from beneficiaries to go through the probate process and pay the minister.
Right. That's the whole purpose of notifying them that we are applying for probate. So I do feel personally, this is my opinion, that the bank is overstepping their role in this particular case. However, I need this check. So we're playing along so that we can submit probate. So the latest thing that they wanted approved by the beneficiaries is that the check for the Minister of Finance is to be mailed to our office, which we need because we can't submit a probate application with the check. However, they want the beneficiaries to say, yes, that's okay.
And I think it's worth pointing out to the listeners as well that you're not late. You know, this check, this application is not late because the minister doesn't know yet, right, that this is even a thing, that it's coming down the pipe, right? The minister doesn't know which applications he's going to get on any given day. The minister's office, I mean, not the individual, of course. But they don't know how many applications they're going to get on any given day and how much money they can expect in payments and on any given day. So there's no deadline. We get this question a lot. How much time do I have to file the probate application? Well, what's the answer? The answer is there's no deadline.
No, but you do want to move quickly. In this case, I've been held up by this probate check for weeks, right? How many weeks have I already been speaking about this, which has delayed me selling the condo, right? I can't sell the condo until I obtain my probate certificate, even though we're prepping it and we're making it look nice and we're trying to get ready.
Yeah,
I have been delayed at least a minimum of 3 weeks. Ted, you may have a better idea if it's been 3 or 4 weeks because you keep track of this. But
this is our week eight. This is our week eight?
Okay. Yeah. So half of this has been me waiting for a probate check.
Yeah, I get it. And there is a liability on the part of the executor to justify their actions or inactions, right? Mm-hmm. If you're being seen to sit on your hands and not get things done, then the beneficiaries could have a legit complaint, especially if they think that it's damaging them financially.
Right.
To your point about the condo or whatever other assets that, you know, need to be sold at top dollar.
Exactly. And let's keep in mind, too, estates are very dependent on timelines. So, for instance, if I can't sell these investments this year and we trickle into next year, it just prolongs tax returns and how much longer I am administering this estate. Yeah. So, yes, it's the middle of the year, but I'm actually starting now to plot out on our charts whether or not we're going to be extending the administration of the estate just because of this one delay that we've hit.
Yeah. And who knows how many other delays wait for you down the road.
Exactly. How long will the probate process be at the appeal court, right? It might trickle us over into December. Who knows?
Are you estimating? Are you taking overs and unders on that?
Yeah. You know what? I'll start a online betting process.
Yeah. Well, we know Peel is busy, but not the busiest in the land, right? It's not Toronto.
No. No, they're not Toronto, and they are good at communicating, which I am very grateful for, because we'll be able to check in with them and find out and be able to give beneficiaries some updates. But, you know, from a timeline perspective, I don't absolutely love where we are at this point because of the delay.
Let's expand on that real quick. I'm curious, when you said you're checking in, what does that look like? I mean, you have a person on the inside. Is there someone whose job it is to just respond to queries from executors? What does that look like when you're checking in?
For us, what it looks like is we email the court with the court file number, and we, you know, very politely, and we understand that they're very busy, so you don't want to be checking in every day, but we usually check in at the 1 month mark, 2 month mark, so on and so forth, just asking if they have an update on where in the queue we might be. Sometimes they'll actually give us a number depending on the court, kind of like the deli where, you know, we're serving number 67. Some will answer in that way, which is nice because it gives you an idea of where you are. Are you still at the bottom of the pile? So they won't tell you, yes, we're looking at your file on Tuesday, September 15th or anything, but they do give you a rough idea of where you are in this giant line.
Do they say things like, we value your business, please wait, and then start playing really bad music in the background?
I'm sure if we called, they probably would. Okay. And that's why I don't phone, because of the hold music.
Would you like mustard on your pastrami sandwich while you're waiting?
Exactly.
Yes, that would be great. You know what? If I could put that in as a suggestion in the suggestion box. Yeah.
Yes. I don't think there is such a thing as a suggestion box for the courthouse. I could be wrong. It's a good idea, though.
Yes.
Yep.
No, I wonder what's going to happen. You mentioned you're dealing with the region appeal, because the region appeal, as you know, is going to be divided.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know how that's going to affect your courts, and I think you're still going through a lot of that.
Yeah, I imagine this will take some time, so I think particular file won't be impacted, but it will be interesting to see how that changes the landscape of dealing with Peel as a region.
Yeah. Like, is your client in Mississauga or in Brampton or in Halton?
Ours is in Mississauga.
Or Calden, I should say. Okay, Mississauga, there you go.
Ted's favorite city.
The great state of Mississauga, as I used to refer to it.
I was born there.
Were you really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Fun fact of this week.
This week's fun fact. For more fun facts, you can contact Debbie 5 days a week via the following methods.
Our website is etpcanada.ca. Our phone number is 866-309-0387. Our email is info@etpcanada.ca. And if you're thinking about being an executor or naming one and you want to take a course, then you can find that at executorready.ca. And if you enter the code VIP-CLUB, that brings it down to $99. What a great value.
It is. Now, you know what you're doing. This is what you do for a living. But you think to yourself, if you hadn't had this experience, how important and how beneficial that course would have been for you?
Absolutely. Point. Yes, yes. We hear great feedback, actually, on the course. So
there you go. You have a terrific week. We will talk again next Sunday.
Thanks, Debbie.
All right. Take care.
Knock that cold on the head and feel better.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Stay tuned. We'll step aside and come back with more of the Avoid Probate Show.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a conversation, a quick conversation, to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future, and we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walshin and Jason Laidler. And as usual, if you'd like to contact us, you can do so by calling our toll-free number, 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. If you prefer to send an email, the address is info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Jason?
Thanks, Ted. I mentioned in the opening we were going to touch on Bill C-245, and some people might find that strange because the bill was introduced and received royal assent back in early 2021, but I'm just going to read this opening paragraph here for this article I was studying. Estate law continues to evolve, and major legislative changes in Ontario have taken place that may affect your estate and wealth planning. Well, that's us, the Avoid Probate people here, avoidprobate.ca. We are very much day-to-day based dealing with estate and wealth planning. The Ontario government introduced Bill 245, as I mentioned, in 2021, received royal assent in April of that year. And I'm just going to summarize real quick some of the major impacts, the major changes. I think impacts is the wrong word, impingements. Anyway, so in no particular order, some of the big changes that took place, and I'm sharing this because we got an email from somebody who was asking me in particular about separated spouses and what the separated spouse is entitled to get. It was a common law situation. Anyway, it's complicated. I'm not going to get into those details right now. But what the bill changed is that separated spouses are now to be treated as divorced spouses. I'll say that again. They're now, as of 2021, when this bill took effect, separated spouses are to be treated as divorced spouses. That's a big deal. Separated spouses would be excluded from inheriting on any intestacy. Intestacy, of course, means someone's passed away without a will. That's intestacy. Further, separated spouses would also be precluded from making a claim under the Family Law Act for equalization of net family property against their deceased spouse's estate, something a married spouse could do before, even if they were separated prior to death. That's if you're confused about that, give us a call, and we'll talk about it. We'll explain it later. But
so if a separated spouse, there's a couple of separated, and one of them dies, the ex husband or ex wife does not receive necessarily an inheritance
As of the new rules.
As of the new rules, so therefore it goes to where? It goes immediately to the children.
Well, it depends if there's a will or if there's not a will. It depends if it's intestate. There's the province has rules. The way to look at it like this: if you don't have a will, the province has one for you, and you can look that up. But it's a succession law reform act. Or if you have a will and you've named somebody else, then that's where the money is going to go. But like to your point though, before, if you hadn't made the change after being separated, you know, people's exes were being enriched. Because they were, the will hadn't been changed. They were still the ex, but now they're being treated as divorced. And so this ties into another question we get quite regularly, bit off topic maybe. But the question is, you know, if I leave money to my child, and they get divorced or separated, you know, does the spouse have a claim on that inheritance? And so the answer to that is it depends. But the gist of it is like this. If you leave money to your daughter who's married and your daughter does not, it's called commingle. The term is commingle. If your daughter keeps that money to herself and then the marriage ends, the husband, the daughter's spouse has no claim on it. That money, inherited money, does not form part of the net family asset, which is shared when a marriage ends. Net family property is divided at the end of the marriage, but the inheritance is not on the table if it has not been shared. What do I mean? What's shared? Give me an example of sharing it. She didn't use it to pay off the mortgage. But, you know, very common use of inherited money, pay off the mortgage, which is a great thing to do. I get it. You know, finally, husband and wife are mortgage free. What a great feeling. So it's a common event when somebody receives it. But that is sharing the money. You pay off the mortgage and you get divorced. You still only get half the house, even though you may have just put 400 grand against the mortgage by yourself. You still only get half the house. So that's an example of sharing the money, a family vacation, a family cottage, anything family, a family trip. I said that already. Family vehicle, any purchase that's going to be shared is commingling the money, and that is divisible. If you keep all that money, all that inheritance to yourself in your own bank account in your name only, that is not divisible. So I hope that helps some people, because I know a lot of people worry about that. They've got money. They're worried about leaving it to their married child because they're worried about what happens if the marriage fails down the road. I want to jump to something else out of this new bill. Speaking of marriage no longer revokes a will. Used to be the case. Well, it's been a long standing. I'll read from the article here. It's been a long standing in Ontario that a will is revoked on marriage. However, this section of the Succession Law Reform Act will be repealed. Therefore, marriage will no longer have any legal effect on the will, and spouses will need to consider updating their wills upon or in contemplation of marriage to avoid dying with an out-of-date will. This change, skipping ahead a little bit here, this change, among other things, is going to... Ted, are you familiar with the term predatory marriages?
No, I've never heard that before.
Predatory marriages, it's a thing. Well, it was a thing. Get this, imagine this. This change will prevent a person who preys on a vulnerable person who is still able to marry from automatically being included in the estate by way of intestate distribution, commonly known as predatory marriage. What does that mean? That's a mouthful. Well, if I marry somebody before this new rule came into effect, I marry some lady, the marriage would have revoked her will. And if she had $5 million in the bank and was going to leave it to, I don't know, nieces and nephews, that's not going to happen anymore because the will is revoked at marriage. And now I'm her spouse because we got married. And if, you know, the spouse is entitled to part of the estate when your spouse passes away, even if there's no will. And we'll talk about that next. But you know, even, and that's what it said here, by way of intestate distribution. Remember, intestacy is no will. So if she had no will, the spouse automatically gets a piece of the action. Automatically. I mentioned the province has a will for you if you don't have one. The spouse plays a big role in that. So that's going to solve that problem. So there's that. There's a few other changes. Lastly, well, I won't, we're going to run out of time before I can get to the rest of them. So we'll leave it at that. But the point I wanted to make here is it's changing all the time. The landscape is changing. The rules are changing. And that's why we're here. We're here to keep an eye on these things, the estate planning and the investment component. We are the experts on this. We do it every day. I've studied it for years. I've been doing this job for more than two decades. We've got a whole team. The Avoid Probate team is here to help in every part of the estate planning job, including Debbie Stanley, lawyers on the team, et cetera, et cetera. So call us if you have any questions at all. We want to help you with all parts of the estate planning, and we want to help you avoid the probate as much as possible. We can do that for you by doing the transfer and or by using a bare trust. Call us for more information. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Wallachin and Jason Laidler. It should be the other way around, really, because Jason is the founder of avoidprobate.ca. I'm just, I'm like the Ed McMahon of this show, except not paid as well. yeah. Hey, a reminder, the information we provide in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different. So if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. And of course, we have them on hand. And you can access them by contacting us via email, for example, info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll free. The number is 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. Time for our weekly email bag.
Good, but before you jump into the email bag, I got to ask you, you know, you mentioned Ed McMahon. What do you think, just curious, what do you think the percentage of his earnings were compared to Johnny Carson's? Do you think he made half?
No.
What Johnny Carson made?
Not a chance.
Not even close, chance.
No.
A quarter?
Carson at one point was making $25 million a year. And that was like in the late 70s or something like that. And he had like 10 weeks vacation or 12 weeks vacation. Plus he only worked 3 days a week. Mondays was a guest host, and Friday was the best of Carson.
Well, it sounds like your job description, doesn't it?
Yeah. Minus the $25 million.
Okay.
Sorry, US, I said to, back then.
You mentioned Ed McMahon, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Email bag here. What do we got going this week?
Okay, well, first of all, there's the question that comes up at the beginning of this email is, why don't you mention the name of the bank that is giving you such a difficult time? Well, we have on many occasions talked about the problems we've had with banks. Most often it's when we have our conversations with Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada and solving the probate puzzle, because she has had difficulties with some of the banks. Why we do not mention the banks? We don't want to be sued in case we've said something wrong. Not to really concern about that, but also, if you mention one bank, somebody's going to say, you always pick on that bank. Why don't you mention the other banks? That's why we don't specifically mention banks by name, because to us, they're all just one big bank,
basically,
with different names.
I was just going to say, it really doesn't matter, right? Because they're all doing the same thing.
Yeah,
they're all doing the same thing, and
they're all working under the same rules. And then we don't hate banks. We should point that out. I mean, banks play an important role in society. I mean, they, and credit to them, they do contribute a lot in terms of helping out charities and various organizations. And you need a place to put your money where you can write a check and pay your bills and deposit and withdraw. So we understand that. But when it comes to, you know, being hit by probate tax, I call it a tax. I know that's not supposed to, but that's where you find your problems. That's where we find our problems. So that's why we don't mention banks by name.
And when we do this in-person consultation, which I referred to earlier in the hour, I'm always telling the listener, the new client, hopefully they become a client, that we're only talking about transferring the part of the money, the part of the investments that you don't expect to be needing tomorrow or the next day or anytime soon. We want to protect that money from the probate process, like Ted said. But of course, you still keep your checking account. I say this all the time. You keep your checking account, you keep your credit card, you pay your hydro bill at the bank, you continue to do your banking at the bank. You have to, right? To Ted's point, we're not replacing the bank's services in terms of day-to-day banking. The insurance companies are not trying to do that. Well, maybe with one exception, but on the most part, they're not trying to do that. The opportunity that we're trying to promote here for the listeners and everybody in Ontario, frankly, is that, you know, there's an investment opportunity at the insurance company that's competing with the banks that most people are unaware of. And so we're not talking about life insurance. I've got to be clear about that. We're just explaining that you can have your investment portfolio at the insurance company and avoid the probate by doing it, because now you can put the beneficiaries on the non-registered account, which you could not do when that money was at the bank. Right. So, yes, we're not slamming the banks or criticizing. Well, we do criticize the banks sometimes when they're asking for probate on small accounts. That's very frustrating. And it does happen. And we're going to talk about that more in the next couple of weeks, actually. We're going to focus on that a little bit. But we understand there's a need for the banking. I have a bank account. Ted's got a bank account. Credit cards, exactly. You know, bills to pay, online, old-fashioned, in the branch, whatever. So, but there is a distinction. And there is now an option. You know, the insurance company is an alternative, and we think it's a great alternative for the investment stuff.
So here we go. And you're going to have to explain what this is, because they're referring to something that I don't know what they're referring to, but you can explain it. As executor, I ran into a similar problem with the blank bank when all I asked them to do was to allow me to pay utility and insurance bills from an account that had over $25,000 on deposit until probate was approved.
Yes. Sorry, I kind of cut you off there, Ted, or interrupted. That's all part of the same email, just to be clear. So this listener was asking, you know, why don't you name the bank? And then goes on to explain that as they acted as an executor and had a problem with the bank. You know, we talk about this. This is a problem. The bank freezes the accounts. Sometimes they will let you make payments that are billable to the estate through that frozen account. But it's a case-by-case situation, and it's time-consuming and frustrating. And sometimes they'll give you a hard time, and that's what happened with this individual. It would seem, unfortunately, even if, utility bills and insurance bills, okay, well, those are bills that got to get paid. They're not frivolous. They're not discretionary. They're bills, I'm assuming, associated with the estate in question here that this person was acting as an executor for. Another good example, of course, is the funeral bill or funeral expenses or whatever they look like. Mm-hmm. You know, often the bank will say, yeah, bring in the bill and we'll let you pay it out of the account, which is otherwise frozen. So you can't just make withdrawals and do what you want to do ad hoc and start paying beneficiaries and things like that. Often you will be able to make payments if you can demonstrate that the bill or the payment is related to the estate itself. Condo fees are an example, whatever. But in this case, it sounds like the person had a tough time, and that doesn't surprise me for one second. And this is the problem, and this is why we try so hard to avoid the probate as much as possible. You can avoid it entirely if the bank account balance is low enough. This person mentions is $25,000 on deposit. Well, reminder, regular listeners will know, the province is not requiring probate on estates worth more than $50,000. But this doesn't, we can't assume.
With less than 50.
With estates worth less than 50. Thank you. We can't assume, though, that this 25 grand is all there is in this particular estate. It's possible, but that's not made clear in this email. We just know that this one account had 25 grand in it. There could have been other money at that particular, at that same bank. We don't know.
But in support of this person's email, I mean, so all you have to do is just make an official record of, at the time of this person's passing, there was $25,000 on deposit. Some of it has been taken away to pay for insurance and utility, et cetera, which needs to be paid. But it was $25,000. So that $25,000, let's say it was $60,000, would be, you know, part of the probate process, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Debbie Stanley will tell you. I mean, the executor's job, they got to be meticulous with their accounting, because at the end of the day, they've got to pay out what's called the residue, whatever's left over after all these expenses are taken care of, including the probate fee. They've got to pay out the remainder of the estate, whatever it is, to the beneficiaries. And the beneficiaries are entitled to see that the money that they're getting is the right amount, and that the expenses were legit, and that the, you know, the executor wasn't wasting money on whatever unnecessary costs. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but of course the executor is accountable for all this. This is why we say it's not an easy job, and we highly recommend professional executor services. It's not something, I mean, I'd love to know if this listener is listening again today, and I hope he or she is, please follow up and let us know what you thought of acting as the executor. You know, is it something you enjoyed? Would you recommend it? Would you do it again? Did you think, was it more trouble than you thought it was going to be? Did you have experience in the past? I'd love to know more about your adventures acting.
You should have taken Debbie Stanley's course.
Maybe they wish they had. In fact, I extend that invitation to any of our listeners who have sat in that role as an executor for anybody, whether it's a relative or a friend. Let us know what you thought of it, and if you think it's something you would take on again, or wished that you had known that there were options to use professional executor services. Let's jump into number two there, Ted.
Okay. I meant to email you earlier this week regarding this great songstress, and this person is referring to the late Aretha Franklin, and the saga of her will. It broke out of the news this week on 740. An old will that was signed and found in her couch, of all things, and contested. Evidently, the judge ruled that it was valid. Yes, he or she, and I don't know if it was a male or a female judge, ruled that it was valid. It says, research the details on point to everything you have emphasized. And you did do that.
Yeah, that's great. I wanted to share that because I was touched that one of our listeners wrote in. It's feedback. You know, this person heard us talking about this. I think you mentioned it last Sunday, Ted, just in passing. And we talked about, you know, the problems associated with this particular case. And it's interesting that this listener, you know, heard that and agreed with us, you know, everything on point to everything you've emphasized. I took this person's advice and did a little bit of research. I didn't realize, I'm going to read from a Vanity Fair article talking about this, where says, you know, it is Aretha Franklin's estate, and they did find this will. And there was a time, though, where they thought there were no wills. It says the Michigan jury deemed the 2014 document discovered in her suburban Detroit home in 2019 to be the final wishes after four years of disputes among surviving family members, according to the New York Times. She died in 2018, at age of 76, and the family originally believed that she hadn't prepared any wills at all. They eventually found four, including, interesting, two handwritten documents, one from 2010 that was inside a locked safe, and the 2014 update in a spiral-bound notebook in the couch. Imagine that, like, what are the chances of finding this thing? That's why they say, we've had these experts on the show before who say, books, man, people love to put stuff in books. You can't throw the books out. You got to go through them all. There's cash. There's notes. Who knows what's in these books? I mean, that must be so time consuming. So luckily they did that. They found this updated version, handwritten. The jury was deciding which of these two documents would serve as a source of truth for the estate. There's a bunch of kids. I think there's four sons. There was all kinds of squabbling going on amongst the boys. pitting Franklin's children against one another, casting doubt on who inherits what from the legendary musician's estate and under what conditions. The different documents, I'm not going to go into the details here, the different documents had different instructions at different times. The 2010 one, for example, two of the boys would require to take business classes before they could collect from the estate. Imagine that. I guess she didn't have a lot of confidence in their financial acumen. Interesting stuff. Just leave it at that for now. It was decided in court. It was tied up for years. Imagine the cost of this. I don't know. 4 years of court fees over Aretha Franklin's estate. The legal bills, boy, big, big dollars. We can avoid that hassle for you when we do the transfer from the bank to the insurance company and put beneficiaries on the investments. It's very difficult to challenge a beneficiary. The courts have upheld beneficiary designations over and over and over again. The court's opinion is that if you've taken the time to go through the trouble of doing the transfer, for one thing, doing the transfer from the bank to the insurance company, and then thinking about who you want the beneficiary to be and naming those people, plural. We get asked all the time, can I have more than one beneficiary? Absolutely. I think the record I have right now is 9. And the people, it's funny, Ted, the people with no children have the most beneficiaries because they're naming nieces and nephews most of the time. Not always. But I think that's the case. This one client we have, I think they've got no kids, but all the nieces and nephews are named. So yeah, of course you can name multiple beneficiaries, including charities, the church, whatever charity is near and dear to your heart. If it's the Parkinson's Canada, I'm not just picking on any, heart and stroke, whatever. And that can all be done through naming the beneficiary on the money at the insurance company after we've done the transfer. No cost to do the transfer most of the time. Call us if you have any more questions about that. Ted, you wanted to talk about the roadshow?
Yeah, the roadshow is available. We'd love to come to your town, wherever you happen to be, whether you're a member of the Rotary Club or whether it's your church or whatever it may be. You could be Provost. We've gone to one Provost meeting and spoken there, and Jason answers questions afterwards, either individually or as we chat to a group, and we can do so. All you have to do is let us know when you'd like us, and we'll see if we can fit you in the calendar. And you can, of course, get a hold of us at info@avoidprobate.ca, info@avoidprobate.ca, whatever service club you happen to belong to. More than happy to come out and chat with you. And yeah. Jason, as I mentioned, it does take some time afterwards to do a little personal one-on-ones with people if they wish to approach him.
It's entirely a different dynamic, obviously, right? Versus, being on the radio and sharing the information on the radio with the listeners compared to being in front of them.
Because when we are talking on the radio, I'm sure there are people sitting there listening at home, listening, and they're yelling at the radio because they're trying to ask you a question, but of course you can't hear it. But right. in the church hall or the basement or wherever it happens to be, we can hear you and we can respond to you. When I say we, I mean Jason, because I'm really not a professional, so I stay away from those kinds of things. I'm more the moderator. I'm that Ed McMahon guy again.
And you're the podcast guy, Ted. Tell us about the
this week's podcast. We've taken a little bit of time, summertime off, so we were reaching back to about a year and a half ago when we interviewed the great broadcaster, the legendary broadcaster, Peter Mansbridge. She had just written a book called On the Road, or Off the Record, I should say. On the Road's another book. Off the Record, which is a fabulous book. If you're looking for a good read, I'm sure you'll be able to pick it up at a pretty good price because it's been about a year or so since it was released. So we're replaying Mr. Mansbridge's conversation. He's a fascinating man, and I quite enjoyed that. And hopefully you will as well. It's available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. And
I heard when it came out, Ted, it was excellent. I did enjoy it very much.
Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you very much. And you can go to www.tedwalshin.ca. And you'll find it as we replay it for you. It's available right now as I speak.
All right, Ted, we're out of time again. Once again, here on the Avoid Probate Show, thanks to the listeners for joining us. If you did just find us this Sunday, thank you for that. Congratulations. Hopefully you'll join us again next week and the week after that and the week after that. We do it every Sunday morning. Got to thank our awesome producer, Kelly, for taking care of us from behind the glass. Thanks to Ted Walshin for his decades of radio excellence. Thanks to Debbie Stanley for her weekly update. I'm Jason Laidler. We'll be back again next week. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Have a great week.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.